The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
All right, let's answer your question and give you some good news.
Yeah, I was afraid you were going to say that.
I'm on her side, and I don't know exactly what her side is.
I think you're totally spot on with that.
I sound inept just to help you out.
It's been a rough week, thanks to your advice.
Are you a regular listener to this program?
As much as I can be.
There's your problem.
I would not ever disagree with you because you're so smart. You have a lot of answers to a lot of things.
You don't want to listen to me on the radio.
So what do I do?
I can't give you any direction.
Thank you for empowering me. I needed that.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
Well, do you know somebody who does?
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
That's the key, isn't it? Finding somebody who does. You can't know everything there is to know. You can't even know what you don't know. That's the tricky part of it. You don't know what you don't know. But as long as you got a base of people to ask, when you're six, you ask your parents. When you're my age, I ask my kids, how do I do this? What mouse? What does it move? What, but there's it's cut in half here. There's two parts of it. And if I do one with my index finger, my middle finger can't. Then this little arrow moves all over the place. Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Grandy. The program, I didn't think I'd have to learn a second language at my age. I'd rather learn Swahili. Be a little bit easier. Good to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. I thoroughly, and I'm not schmoozing you, enjoy your calls. It edifies me. It helps me, touches my heart. Yeah, see, I'm starting to sound a little sensitive in my old age. You know, I'm hearing the waterfall, so I got to start being nicer. I don't know if I'm getting holier or my testosterone is just declining. Whatever it is, I'm not as easily upset as I used to be. Yeah, that's grace or age or both. Anyway, I love your calls. You call in about something in your life that matters to you. Something that you struggle with, or something you don't struggle with. Something that you can help somebody else with. Something that is so insightful that I will steal it and put it in a future book. And people go, how does he think of this stuff? And if I were totally honest, I'd have to say I don't. I don't think of this stuff. You do. And you give it to me. It's kind of a variant of the old go to somebody who knows what they're talking about. Anyway, the number to get onto the program is 877-573-7825. That is not an easy number to remember. Those numbers bounce all over the place. You know, it's not a number like 877-112-1112. You know, it's not anything like that. I think this was back in the days when you just got a number. You didn't chase after it and say, give me something that's easy to remember. So I made it easy to remember. 877-57-EQUAL. That's a lot easier to remember. Now, some of you say, but Dr. Ray, there's five letters in equal, and that means the number goes on to 11 digits. Yeah, but the L drops off. Your phone is dumb. It just takes the first 10 digits you give it. So I guess you could say 877-57-EQUA is the number to call to get onto the program. When I had the good privilege to be on the Good News Marriage Cruise, they had a panel. The panel was about eight of us. Some really, really bright folks on that panel. I was a little intimidated. So I kept my mouth shut most of the time. I know it's hard to believe. And I experienced a couple of spurts of anxiety. Yeah, yeah. Was it because we were sitting in the theater with approximately 400 people staring at us? Nah, crowds don't bother me like that. Well, was it because with all the smart things people were saying, I was afraid I was going to say something pretty dumb? No, I'm used to doing that. I've gotten over that fear a long time ago. Was it because I wasn't really dressed all that cool? I looked like something out of 1974? No, because that's just kind of the clothes I got. You know what it was? I was anxious because there were points where that microphone was within 3 to 4 feet of me, and I didn't have it in my hand. Yeah, yeah. When a microphone gets that close, I just get the urge. I got to start grabbing it and talking. And then sometimes it would come really close. It would come within 3 feet to the person next to me. Who was sitting next to me? Al Cresta was a couple people down. Who was sitting next to me? I forget. Father Joe Krupp was on the other side. But as it came within 3 feet, I was just like ready. I was going to grab it. And then they turned and gave it to somebody else. So there is where I had my own particular anxiety. One of the questions that came to us, and they said this was a very common question. If you're caring for elderly parents, either in some phase of dementia or not, just needing help, or fragile, or physically struggling, how do you... And I always hate how-to questions. How-to questions are tough because they imply there's a formula. Here's a one-size-fits-all formula that if you're in this situation, here's what you do. But anyway, they said, how do you balance family, the responsibilities you have with your own family, but yet the increasing demand of taking care of an elderly parent, especially one who is at some stage of dementia? Now, we all talked about dementia, but I remember thinking we really didn't address that question. We didn't get there. I'd like to offer a couple of things I would have said. If I could have got a hold of the microphone, I look pretty bad, really, because down at the end, I was on one end, and the microphone was at the other end, and I got up and I ran down toward it. And did you ever play monkey in the middle when you were a kid? Two guys threw the ball back and forth, and you were in the middle, and you tried to intercept that ball, and if you intercepted it from the one who threw it, then they were the monkey in the middle. That's what I felt like. I was monkey in the middle with that microphone. Here's what I would have said. If you're going to spend, through this phase of your life, more of your time caring for your parents, which is a good thing, then find ways to, even though your time is cut down with your family, you only got so much time, find ways to be extra attentive. A little more hugs and kisses with the kids. That don't take much time. A little more smoochy and affectionate with your spouse. That doesn't take much time. Maybe a little easier to get along with during those periods where you are there. My wife brought up a good point. For 3 years, we had her mother, my mother-in-law. That's kind of redundant, isn't it? At our home. And mom was heading through various stages of dementia. And by the end of the third year, we really couldn't care for her anymore. It was beyond our ability. Now, we have a home with 4 bedrooms. All 10 kids were there when mom was there. Well, obviously, you had 4 kids in one bedroom, 3 in another, and 3 in another. When mom came in, she took one of the bedrooms. That means we had 2 bedrooms. For 10 kids. During those 3 years, 2 of our sons slept on the floor in the walk-through closet. That was good for them. The kids need to see that, in fact, you can sacrifice some of your comfort, some of your own expectations for someone else, particularly if it's a grandmother. During that time when mom was there, my wife had to spend more time taking care of mom. She'd put her to bed. She'd do what she needed to do. We had to keep an eye on Ma because she could wander off, so we had to do some various things. We had to get an electric stove, which we now have a gas stove, and now we're guarding it. They're trying to take our gas stove. So by mathematics, mom had less time. My wife had less time to spend with the kids. Nevertheless, she found some ways to be a little more present. And that's what I would say. When you don't have the time, then find ways when you are there to be more affectionate, to be kinder, to be more complimentary. Do those things. Back when I was doing a lot of work. When I first starting out my career and things were going pretty heavy and speaking pretty heavy, a lot of times I wasn't home. 10 kids cost a lot of money if you feed them. But we did feed them. I mean, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we fed the boys. And Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, we fed the girls. And then Sunday's family day, everybody got to eat. So given that, there were times when I was gone. People would ask my wife, hey, Ray here, how do you do this? He leaves for 3 days. And I knew that when I was there, I had to be a nicer guy. Had to be an easier to get along with guy. I had to. I couldn't just count on the fact that I had time as much as I wanted there. And I say this to all the guys. When you guys aren't home for various reasons, maybe you're running a business, maybe you're busy with something. When you are there, treat that woman like a queen. It's a great formula. And if I were to come up with a how-to formula, that'd be the one. 877-57-EQUA. All right, equal. Got some calls up there, and I definitely want to talk to you. Dr. Ray.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. I Can't Get No Satisfaction is a popular song, but it could be a summary of our life on earth. In the book of Genesis, we hear that we're made in the image and likeness of God. That means that we can know the truth and we can choose to do good to others. We can love. It comes to fulfillment in the Sermon on the Mount where we hear these Beatitudes. It's the standard of the Christian life. Jesus tells us that if we hear what he says and do what he tells us to do, we will be like wise people who build our house on solid rock. But we make progress towards happiness and blessedness by our actions, and it starts with our interior disposition, what we want to choose. Do you and I hunger and thirst for those things that will lead us to happiness and to God? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
Underwritten in part by this not-for-profit.
Are you looking for peace? Longing for joy? Want to meet the giver of all goodness? God is calling the laity to bring Ignatian prayer into a suffering world. Work for the new evangelization. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com. Order your free digital training and manual. Find true happiness and everlasting joy. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
And click on the red button today.
It's free. Approved by the USCCB.
I was reading a recent survey. According to the Academy of Incomplete Research, 9 out of 10. Well, Dr. Ray Grandy, thanks for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. All right, Bob from Freeport, Maine, has realized that one of the great ways to take care of anxiety and depression is found in, and I'll let him say it. Hi, Bob, how are you?
Good, how are you, Doctor?
Good, sir. Thank you. Appreciate the call. I got to act real nice, you know that? Because, you know, when you're on the radio and you're supposed to be really nice, I got to say, oh, thank you for calling. I appreciate it very much. But nevertheless, I still do appreciate your call. You have a good comment, I think. Bob, I chase you away. He's gone. Well, no, you know, when they're on cell phones, those things drop all over the place. He had one of the ways of getting rid of anxiety is being grateful. There's a phrase that essentially says it's hard to be depressed when you're grateful. Now, that's a little simplistic because some small percentage of depressions are biochemical. And no matter how grateful you are, if the brain ain't working right, you're going to get depressed. However, with most depressions, which are depressions of life, depressions of thinking, depressions of creating in yourself a blue state, when you start to look at what you have, and I'll tell you what, nobody, no culture has ever lived in the comfort and wealth that we have. Inconceivable. But because we live in it, we just think that's the way it should be, and anything that threatens it causes anxiety or depression in us. This isn't the way I want it to be. Anyway, poor Mary. Mary is calling with, well, first of all, her name is Mary, which means she's of that generation where the number one name for, I think, 50 years in the United States among girls was Mary. It is now not even in the top 50. So talk about, that's one little indication of the people's movement away from things religious. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So do you want me to get into my question?
Sure. It's not okay. Sure. Sure. S-H-O-R-E. Sure. Because you're in Philadelphia. It's very close.
Yeah. My son and daughter-in-law, they're in their late 20s. They have a little grandson, my grandson, and he's 2.5. He'll be 3 in a few months. And they don't go to church anymore or anything like that. And I was out there recently. I stayed with them, which was a mistake because they thought that I was, I don't know. We didn't have the same views on parenting skills.
And you opened your mouth.
Yeah. They let them stay up till all hours and
bad move, Mary. You opened your mouth.
But normally I get along really well with them because I know that if I don't, I'll never see the grandson, especially, you know, I want to make sure I get along with my daughter-in-law. And she's a very nice person, but she's very controlling of my son. But that's beside the point. Anyway, I told them when I came back to Pennsylvania, I said, no, even when I was out there, a couple of weeks ago, I said, I'd really like to attend my grandson's birthday. I want to be there for his birthday. And they wouldn't let me go last year because they said, well, the other grandparents are coming and we're not having a party and you're coming in June anyway. His birthday's in May. And so we don't want you to come, even though I'd been out there in March to take care of him for 3 weeks, but they don't want me to come. The other grandparents will tell them when they're coming. They give him everything. They mail him presents left and right. He has nothing. He wants for nothing. I don't know what to get them. It's like they give them money. So I feel like they're dependent on them, beholden, you know, because of the money thing. Anyway, so I said, it's not fair to me if I can't come. God brought it up again last week or 2 weeks ago when I was out there. I said, I want to come to his 3rd birthday in May. And my daughter-in-law said, well, my mother's and father are already coming. They already said they were coming. Like, I had already put in my reservation.
Mary, translation, we don't want you here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me intrude. There are two levels here. One is perhaps good news. The other is perhaps bad news. The good news is, as you were describing all this, in between the lines, you indicated that you just didn't keep your opinion to yourself. You said things about their parenting. You said things about guiding their lives, whatever it was. And you were meaning to be helpful. You weren't being critical. You're trying to help. But you underestimated how your daughter-in-law is going to take it. Your son would probably roll with it, but she won't let him.
Mm-hmm.
Her attitude is, I don't want that woman telling me how to raise kids and how to live my life, especially with her nutcake religious ideas. Okay. Now, that's the, you know why that's the good news? Because you can change that. You can change that. You can recognize that if you're allowed to have some contact again, you are not, zero zip, nada, going to say anything about anything in the way they run their lives. You're not going to say, well, do you have a place for these dishes? Do you have a place for these? Because, you know, lots of times when we put them on the lower cupboards because it's easier to reach them there. Now, you think that's benign. And she hears right. it as, you're a terrible housekeeper. You're a terrible housekeeper. Now, so that's the one thing you really got to know, Mary. Now, here's the bad news. She doesn't like you because of your religion and political beliefs. She knows what they are, and even if you don't say them, she thinks, I know how you think. I don't like how you think. You're not allowed to think how you think. So therefore, the less you're in our lives, the better. Does that sound like it touches upon what's going on?
It's similar. The religion thing is right on, but the political thing, she's on the same political, she's Republican. So they so agree with us politically, but.
It's predominantly the religion then, because they don't have any.
Yeah. So well, she's into witchcraft, so.
Oh, jeez.
But they did.
Oh, man. Mary just happened to throw that out there. Oh, by the way, my daughter-in-law is into witchcraft. Oh,
but they let me take him to Mass for the first time, and I was out there a couple weeks ago because they said they wanted him to make up his own mind and decide. He's never even been baptized. So I had the deacon and the priest both bless him because that's all I could do.
Did you ask to take him to Mass, or did they say, would you take him to Mass?
They said, it's okay if you take him to Mass.
Okay,
good. Volunteer.
That's good, because you can really only do what they allow you to do. Here's your point. Here's where you're at, Mary. At this point, you're going to have to accept that they're keeping you at arm's distance.
Okay.
That's a given. Because in the past, you didn't help yourself by opening your mouth too much. Now, that's not the only thing that did it, by the way. The fact that your daughter-in-law has her own way of living and you have this religious way of living right away quick puts you at a distance right now. It's
okay.
happening all over the place. Your son, who I think you're thinking, what is wrong with him? I'm his mother. You'd think he'd stand up to her and say, no, my mom's going to get equal time as your mom. Well, Mary, I've seen this happen so often, where these sons cave in to their wives' unfair treatment of their mother. I see it all the time. All the time. He probably knows she's being unfair. However, he doesn't want to stand up to her because he has to live with her. And
right.
it could be real ugly. So here's what you do. If you get a chance, you go to her and you apologize and you say, you know, I'm so sorry. I have given my opinion way too many times when it is not asked for. And I'm sorry about that. From now on, I will not do that. You are the mom. You are the wife. It is your life. Do that. And you tell her, you say, I promise I won't do that anymore. Now, she won't trust you. She'll think, yeah, okay, that's nice, but you will. That's okay. As she lets you creep back into her life, you'll show her you're not going to do that. To explain why her own parents are allowed 10 times the contact that you are and 10 times the flexibility that you are, it's her parents. You're not her parents. So she really doesn't see any problem with treating them a lot better than she treats you.
Mm-hmm.
She just doesn't see it that way. That's sad. I mean, if you get a daughter-in-law who basically says, I will treat my mother-in-law with the same respect and care and love that I treat my mother, you got a gem. Unfortunately, Mary, that doesn't happen a lot of the time.
Family Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
It's extremely, I think, hypocritical. It's awful. It's so frustrating to hear these big companies saying they are so proud to pay for abortions for the employees, even pay for transportation, pay for the abortions, up to $10,000 some companies are willing to spend to send their employees to get an abortion in states that would still allow it, such as New York and California, and of course right now with all the shenanigans going on in Michigan. But what about health care? What about what about maternity care for moms? What about backing moms in other ways in the workforce as opposed to pitting them against their children? I mean, think about how sexist that is and how undignified that is to say to a woman, you can go get your abortion and then you can come back to work in a day or two. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Who may be baptized into the Catholic faith? The Catholic Catechism tells us that baptism may only be administered to a person who has never been previously baptized. When an adult is baptized, he undergoes a preparation for the sacrament called the catechumenate. The candidate for baptism is called a catechumen. The catechumen should be properly initiated into the mystery of salvation and the practice of the evangelical virtues. They should also be introduced into the life of faith, liturgy, and charity of the people of God by successive rites. Baptism of infants is, the Catechism says, an immemorial tradition of the Church. Church law urges that a child be baptized as soon after birth as possible, in order that the baby not be denied the priceless grace of becoming a child of God as soon as possible. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
I just got done shoveling my driveway for the third time in 3 days. Everybody else has these snow blowers for 22-foot driveways. My driveway from the front to the back is about 160 feet long. It's a double driveway. And I realized that, you remember when we were kids and it got to be 20 degrees and 3 inches of snow was expected and they closed school? Yeah, neither do I. So they closed all the schools today around here. And the roads are completely clear. The temperature's 35. They just closed all schools. That's it. Shut them down. Interesting. Fascinating. Because I looked out this morning at about 9 o'clock and we have a reasonably busy road in front of our house, and it was already clear. No problem. I went out and shoveled, and it was reasonable temperature. All right. Morgan is calling. There's a question about her son. He's doing some things, and, well, she's not sure what's going on. Hi, Morgan.
Hello.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you. I'm glad you have this topic because it's very pertinent.
Tell me what you see going on with your son here.
Well, he's 28, and he's had quite the series of events since he was 16. And now he's the dad of a 4-year-old autistic boy, my grandson. His wife has left him, and she has signed off all her rights to my grandson. So I have stepped in to help. But now it's become, and I've set boundaries of, no, I'm not paying for that, not doing for that. But he's learned, I guess, if he says he needs money for rent or food or for something for Oliver, that I will oblige. But now it's come to the point where my husband's just like, you need to quit. You need to stop helping him. And so I don't want any more conflict with my husband. At the same time, I don't want Oliver, the grandson, to suffer.
Is Oliver with you?
No. I help take him to school in the morning. He goes to an autistic school.
When your son asks for money, how does he phrase it?
Usually along the line of, well, I need money for rent. And even if I say, well, I don't have it right now, he goes, fine, I guess we'll just be homeless. There's always a little guilt statement. Yeah. Or a... Uh-huh.
Yeah. How long has he been doing this?
Well, he'll get good for like 6 or 7 months, and then it'll all fall apart.
Is he working?
So off and on, 3 years.
Is he working?
He has a job now, yes.
He has
a job. Third one this year.
So he's had a history of being pretty irresponsible.
Yes.
And his wife couldn't take it anymore.
That would be my suspect, yes.
So now he's 28, and he is still being irresponsible. And your fear is for your grandson.
Correct, yep. Okay.
And your husband says, don't do it anymore. And you say, yeah, but what about our grandson? And your husband says...
Well, I don't want to let the little one to suffer either. But, I mean, there's just always a... And I hard to balance between being Christian. You know, you should always make sure that you take care of others. And my husband thinks, you've done your part, you've done enough.
Yeah, being a Christian is not feeding into people's irresponsibility.
Yeah.
When our Lord talked about taking care of those who don't have, and he was talking about people who really, really didn't have. But then Paul, St. Paul said things like, let him who does not work not eat. Whoa! Mm-hmm. Hey, St. Paul, you're not being a Christian there, are you? So basically what St. Paul was saying is, if you're capable, you need to take care of yourself. Now, do you have any inclination of where else he spends this money so that he's always needing you to pay for the essentials?
Well, he was out of a job for 3 months, so I know that was part of it, not having a job. The other part, running here, he always is spastic in his driving around, so he runs out of gas. So then he puts more money into making sure he has the ability to run around than
All right,
into
so he
rent
wants,
or saving
He wants his
rent.
Entertainment. His entertainment comes first.
Or impulsivity comes definitely first, then right. Thinking ahead or planning down the road that you got to pay rent in a
well,
week.
Well, a couple of things you got to judge. You got to judge whether always bailing him out is in fact helping your grandson. Because if that's the case, then you might as well just make up your mind you're going to bail him out for the next 14 years. If in fact you think there is a true risk to your grandson, you could say, well, he can come and live with us. Which your son will say, no, absolutely not. That's my son. Okay, you'll act like Mr. Responsible Father. So you have to make a judgment here, Morgan. Which is, am I doing more good by letting my son use us, or in fact, am I doing more harm, and even harm to your grandson? So that's a judgment you got to make. And you can't say, if you say, what's your grandson's name again, dear?
Oliver.
Yeah, if you say, no matter what, I can't let anything untoward in terms of not danger, but in terms of lifestyle happen to Oliver, then you might as well just give your son money whenever he asks for it. That's it. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
If on the other hand, you say to yourself, you know, he's using us and this is feeding into his irresponsibility and this is going to hurt Oliver. It is. As long as he lives irresponsibly, it hurts Oliver. So you have to make a decision.
Making that shift, mind shift.
Yeah. I mean, I did that with a couple of my kids. I decided that the things I did to help you out, you misused. So therefore, now we didn't have any grandkids involved. Fortunately, the children that we have that have grandkids, they're quite responsible. But if, in fact, you do that, that's it. Daddy's not doing this anymore. That's it. Zero. Zip. Nada. Not going to happen. And it's worked out the best because it forced them into being more responsible. And when your son throws the guilt thing at you, well, I guess we'll just be homeless. here's one question for you, Morgan. Knowing your son, do you think he would actually put himself through that?
I actually do. I mean, he did for a year and a half.
So. But he had his son with him?
No.
I didn't think so. Okay. Different circumstance. Got a decision to make, my dear. And the decision comes down to, are you helping or hurting? Not only your son, but Oliver. Thanks, Morgan. Thanks for the call.
Yep, thank you.
You're welcome, dear. This is Dr. Ray. We're at a little more than the halfway point. I always make the announcement at the halfway point. If you'd like to call in, we take calls not in the way that they come in, but just on the basis of topic, the basis of multiple factors. So 877-57-EQUAL is the number. If you'd like to call in during this break, and we can talk. Well, I can talk. All right, you can talk too.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You remember the time I said on the air, go to confession. And when you're done, go out and have a big ice cream soda. Celebrate. And a man wrote to me, he says, you know, I hadn't gone to confession in 30 years. Do you mind if I went and had a pizza? I said, oh, have 20 pizzas.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Let us strive to know the Lord. Quick question to you and me right now. Is that what you and I are doing every single day? When you and I wake up every day, do we strive to know Jesus or not? In the Old Testament, in the same book of Hosea, a little bit later on, it's in chapter 14, the Lord says through the prophet, my people perish. Or in another translation, my people are being destroyed. Because of a lack of knowledge. Not a lack of data. We got tons of data. Not a lack of information. We got a lot of information. Not just about things that are happening in the world. We got a lot of data, a lot of knowledge, a lot of information about God. But not a lot of intimacy with God. Not a lot of relationship with God. Not a lot of friendship. That's the cry of God's heart. God wants to give himself to us in the incredible gift of friendship. And we're not taking advantage of it.
I'm angry, frustrated. Sound like you? Someone you know? Well, it could be any of us from time to time. But there's different types of anger. It's not so cut and dry. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. One thing is for sure, you don't need to suffer with anger frustration. In my book, Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration, you'll learn whether your anger is a product of your nature or your nurture, and how to regulate those emotions and those thoughts. You can get Living Calm and all my other books at AveMariaRadio.net. My wife has a beautiful way of pointing out things to me. For example, as I was shoveling the driveway, she said, Ray, you better hurry up because you got to get the snow shoveled before the rain and the higher temperatures take it away. Another time, at our old house, we had a little wood pile right next to the shed. And I'm not known for my ability to repair everything. If it's electrical, I look at it and cry. If a fuse snaps off the other way, I just kind of sit in the basement looking at it, thinking, what do I do now? I can paint, though. I'm a heck of a painter. So when the logs all fell over, when our wood stack fell down, I was sitting there looking at it, thinking, how is it going to go back up? And she very sweetly came over and she put the phone book in front of me. I said, what's this, honey? And this is back when you didn't internet search stuff. This is back when you had to actually, we actually used paper. That's right. She put it in front of me. I said, what's this for, babe? She said, it's the Yellow Pages. So why is that? I thought you might want to call somebody to come over and restack the wood pile. Yeah, she's good that way. She's real subtle that way. She's real good that way. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. I wrote my grandparent book. It was called Being a Grandparent, Just Like Being a Parent, Only Different, some years ago. And it was the most common questions that I get from grandparents. One of the questions I had to deal with was the daughter-in-law, mother-in-law relationship. If I were to put together the potential for friction, whether it's, let's say, mother-daughter, father-daughter, father-son, father-son-in-law, father-daughter-in-law, mother-son, mother-daughter-in-law, by far, the one that most often has the potential for friction and estrangement and don't see the grandkids is the mother-daughter-in-law. Well, okay, let me rephrase that. Mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. There's lots of reasons for that. The dynamic is very complex. Typically, it starts out, well, let me illustrate it with this story. An Italian gentleman was going to get married. His mother had never met his fiance. So he brought three women over, sat them on the couch. Mom, one of these women is the one that I'm going to marry. Will you talk to them for 1 hour and see if you can decide which one I am? Hour later, mom says, it's the one on the end there. The kid said, yeah, that's right. How did you know that? Mother said, I don't like her. Now, a lot of these relationships start out that way, sadly. They start out with a distance or a dislike. And I want to say this to all the moms out there. You got to be really on your best behavior. Because there is a sensitivity often attached to this relationship where it doesn't take much to start it off on the wrong foot. It could be as simple as you saying some things about the reception on who they should invite or who they should not invite or whether they should have alcohol or whether they shouldn't have alcohol or wherever. That's the first thing. The second thing, Mary Beth, I'll be right with you. The second thing is you really have to watch what you say. You do not have the freedom to give your opinion unless it is asked for, whether it's in finances, religion, politics, child rearing. You're right. If you even smell that there is resistance, and you, here's what happens. You know this early on, but you continue to say things. You sense early on that this is not going well, this is not being received well, but we keep doing it. Why? Well, because we want to fix it, we want to make it better. But if you do this, what tends to happen, and there's usually a breaking point, and the breaking point happens where all of a sudden, you're not welcome anymore. Or excuses start to fly why you can't see the grandkids. In Morgan's case, it was why she couldn't come to her 3-year-old grandson's birthday party. You can't come. Why? Because somebody else is going to be there. That's why. You see these flimsy excuses start popping up. You know that's not the reason. And you're tempted to say, oh, wait a minute. Now, come on, are you telling me you can't have more than one set of grandparents? See, you're tempted to say that, but you just heard in so many words, we're not inviting you. So then when you offer a rationale for why they should invite you, it gets smacked down. So you got to be careful. Now, the good news is you can repair those relationships at least enough that they're sociable. You can do this. You'll never really be close if you're on different religious wavelengths. That's just not going to happen. But at least you can be sociable. And try not to get mad at your son for not standing up to his wife, because I will tell you this as a therapist. When I get to look behind the scenes and I see what is going on between daughter-in-law and mother-in-law. I see the son who really doesn't like what's going on, but he puts his loyalties, forced loyalties, with his wife because he lives with her. And perhaps he knows that she could get pretty difficult about this. And therefore, he's forced to choose. So try not to take it too personally in a lot of these cases, moms. Okay, Mary Beth, when I come back, you stay right there because I got to take this break. I just talked too much. This is Dr. Ray.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you have an insurance plan that pays for everything, even things you don't believe in? There are options. You can join Solidarity HealthShare, a faith-based health-sharing community. Plus, Solidarity HealthShare can save you money with prices starting as low as $384 a month for families.
Call to see how much you can save. 844-398-9399. That's 844-398-9399.
Jesus calls his followers disciples. That's the word that we use in English, but really in the Greek New Testament, it's the word for student. Now, you might say the school of Jesus Christ is more of a trade school or technical school than it is a liberal arts college, because in the school of Jesus Christ, you learn how to live like the master lives. But it is a school. The teacher isn't just passing along information. The teacher is passing along knowledge of the ultimate purposes of God. The master is passing along the knowledge of life and the will of God concerning man. The school of Jesus Christ is a real thing, and if we are disciples of his, we've entered into that school, and by paying attention to his teaching, we will conform our lives to his.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Little kid joke. What did one snowman say to the other snowman? Sorry, that's gender assuming with snowmen. Do you smell carrots? All right, hold on a second here. This is interesting. Well, this is the first time this has happened. Mary Beth is on line one. Mary Beth, you there?
Yes, I am.
And I just got a text from you.
Yeah, because I was going to let you prejudge my question.
So,
I'm trying to help you.
Yeah, what you want some kind of soundbite responses to woke ideas, huh?
Well, are you aware of American Girl, what the choice they made?
Oh, they're all doing this stuff. M&M's was doing it. They're all doing it. It amazes me how something so ridiculous can catch on so fast everywhere.
You didn't answer my question. American Girl specifically, are you aware?
Well, first of all, Mary Beth, I'm going to correct you. Okay. American Person.
Oh, gosh.
Right.
Oh, so you're part of being woke. You're the one.
No, I just did an example of what you asked for. Mock it.
Huh.
Mock it.
But I'm asking you, are you aware of the book that they recently published and promoted?
No.
It is about when young girls are growing up. And the book, by the way, it says on the book, ages 3 to 12. And it says that there are going to be, it's something to do with celebrate your body, but that there's going to be changes that you're going to notice over the years. some of these changes you might not like. But if it's before puberty, when your body makes a lot of changes, you can go to a doctor. He can give you medicine. It will buy you time to decide how you feel about these changes.
My only hope on this, Mary Beth, is that there are a number of European countries who are backpedaling on this so fast. The National Health Institute in Britain has no longer said they will not pay for these transgender prepubescent operations. They won't. There's a number of other European countries who flat out said, no, will not before age 18. So our hope on this, and the U.S. is leading the charge in its craziness, our hope on this is that ultimately that reality will trickle our way. What is happening with a lot of these companies like that is that they're finding themselves losing money. So for some of them, like Disney, they've decided, oops, maybe there isn't as many people thinking woke as we think there is, and maybe they don't like it being jammed down their throat, so therefore we're losing money, so okay, we'll back off. So I suspect American Girl's going to get a heck of a backlash, and I'm hoping that enough parents look at that and say, okay, this subscription's over.
Yes.
Thank you,
well,
dear. Thank
you.
I tell you what, I got to run. Well, you know what? I can't keep up with all that stuff because it's coming like a tsunami. So all I say is be aware of it. And again, I mock it. I e-person Monday. I can't even say email because that's just linguistically insensitive. Thank you, Mary Beth.
Okay, never forget Marietta. Thanks.
I won't. I used to date her, a little Italian girl, Marietta. Very nice girl. Very nice girl. Thanks, Mary Beth. Dan is a pa. I don't know why Eric puts that up there. I mean, I don't really know if he's a pa or not. Oh, Dan from Pennsylvania. Okay. Dan, you got caught up in this old, I have to choose between my wife and my mother, right?
I did.
How'd it turn out?
Yep. Well, it turned out good now, but I'm 64. And it's been good for about 10 years, but when I was in my 20s, it was, I actually didn't talk to my parents for a couple of years until we saw each other at a wedding, and then it eased up, but there was still the strain there of the wife mother-in-law thing. And
did your wife convince you
dearly?
Did your wife push you not to talk to your parents?
No, never told me not to talk to him and never did anything like that. It would be more like maybe she wouldn't talk to me when she found out I was.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Okay, well, she didn't come out and say, don't talk to your mom. She just simply said, if you talk to your mom, I won't talk to you.
Well, she didn't simply say that. She just, you know,
she could tell it
would upset her.
Yeah, she did it. Do you have any idea why she didn't like your mom?
Well, before we got married, I was only 19, and, it was a this-isn't-gonna-last thing, and so my mother did try to step in there for a while, and that didn't go over so well. So.
Okay, so your mom was pushy.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, again, you see the dynamics there. And you saw what happened. You shed another variable to this whole situation, which is maybe you could have sat down with your mom and say, okay, mom, here's what's going on. Here's what I see. At this point, you better back off on this because my wife is not taking this well at all. And you can say, your wife is being hypersensitive. You could say she's being unreasonable. She's irrational. She's emotional. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. She's taken it that way. So if you're going to do damage control, you probably head for your mom. Dan, thank you. Boy, I'll tell you what, we could have a whole show. And I do deal with this in the grandparent book. I talk about this kind of choice estrangement more often between mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. Now, there's no history there, see? It's tougher to do that with a daughter because you have some history. And you assume some of that history is warm. So that can carry you. It can counterbalance it. But if you don't have any history with a daughter-in-law, and that daughter-in-law smells that you think her son is either making a mistake or could do better, or you're disappointed in who he picked, women pick up on these things. They're very socially sensitive. They're much more sensitive than us guys. Thanks for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. If you walk with God, you pay attention to what he's saying. You might not run quite as foul of some of these circumstances.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.